Hey, this is Song Crash. I'm Kirsten Johnstone. We've got new music ranging from jazz to Scandi pop in the show today. And to talk about it, I've stolen people from all over the company. We have RNZ Afternoons producer Emile Donovan. Welcome.
Hello.
And jazz show Inside Out host Nick Tipping. Welcome.
Hello.
And Tony Stamps in the Auckland studio with us.
Hello. I'm always here.
He's kicking us off with some Flying Lotus, a track called Post Requisite. What should we listen out for here, Tony?
Flying Lotus's very distinctive production style, which I'll talk about after the fact, and also the virtuoso bass playing of Thundercat.
Flying Lotus with Post Requisite. Flamagra came out about a month or so ago, and I dipped in and out of this album a couple of times, but it was too much for me, too rich, too complicated. It seems like an album that could be better to snack on rather than trying to eat it as a whole meal.
So I've been snacking for the last month or so. I mean, every record Flying Lotus puts out I really want to like, but I often find it intimidating just because it is so sonically dense, and you know, he has zero restraint. I mean, this is far and away the most accessible track on the album. He just throws a million ideas into every song, and on most of them there is Thundercat playing that sort of very trebly bass, and you know, Thundercat also just has zero restraint, and every song tends to sound to me like
yeah, it's all of the notes, all at once.
He plays all of the notes. In that one, you know, he's pulled his head in a little bit more, and I don't know, for whatever reason, it just coalesced for me. That song actually came out a couple of years ago as part of a movie that Flying Lotus directed called Kuso. Now, I have a strong stomach when it comes to cinema and transgressive cinema. I lasted about 5 minutes watching Kuso. I can't even describe to you what I witnessed in those 5 minutes because we would get taken off air. It is disgusting. It is just a parade of grotesqueries. But, you know, watching it, it kind of makes his albums make a little bit more sense. When you watch the movie, it is like listening to one of his albums where it is every idea that he can possibly think of and the most offensive ideas he can possibly think of all put up on the screen.
Okay, I'm going to go next. I've chosen a song by weirdo Scandi pop artist Aurora. She's 23-year-old Norwegian Aurora Axness. Tony, you met her a few years ago when she played Laneway, I believe.
I did. She was exactly what you'd expect. She's like a little pixie. She's like a little Norwegian sprite. She was so friendly and incredibly complimentary.
She comes across as a very genuine person, I think. She's been releasing music for about 5 years now. And when I say weirdo pop, I mean, this is pop for people who like their music a little more nuanced, a little more thoughtful and less formulaic than what you might find on the top 40. I'd include Lorde, Billie Eilish, Florence and the Machine, fellow Scandi Robin, and the godmother of the genre, Kate Bush, as well as, you know, David Bowie. Aurora's a pretty special kind of songwriter and singer with a voice that chimes as clear as a bell, and songwriting that doesn't really kowtow to any kind of fashion, though it's clearly Scandinavian pop. She's just released her third long player, A Different Kind of Human, Step 2. And she touches on themes like ecological disaster, male suicide rates, and outdated gender roles. And to be honest, I can't digest more than one or two of these songs at a time. They're all pretty full on. But I kept coming back to this song, Daydreamer, this week. It has gorgeous, delicate production. I love that little kalimba sound that you're going to hear in the beginning. And though the song restrains itself just enough, I could imagine Aurora letting it loose at a summer festival. On a personal note, I've been losing a fair bit of sleep this week, courtesy of my 4-year-old waking up at 3 a.m, sneaking into my bed and wriggling and kicking until morning. So this song is going out for all the daydreamers, night walkers, co-sleepers and bed hoppers. You know who you are.
White silicon eyes, watching storms, sitting quiet, reading books in the heat of city lights. Bored, everyone's bored. When I'm restless, put me under the nightlife stars and I will feel grounded. I know I'm just a girl, but can I change lives? If I am nothing, if I am trying, I think I can. I step on broken glass of soft clouds. When feelings are heavy, they become all we are. And we become nighttime dreamers, the street walkers, the small talkers, when we should be daydreamers and moonwalkers and dream talkers. And we become us closer into the madness of the world of a gun. Cause everyone lies and nobody lies and somebody dies. Right now I hear the quiet sweet music no one sings. And we become nighttime dreams, the street walkers, the small.
That's Aurora with Daydreamer. That song just builds and builds and builds. That galloping rhythm, the bass, the unpredictability of it. It's a very youthful song. I played it to my kids this morning and they loved it and played it 6 times. We agreed that it's probably a song saying that you can be whatever you want to be.
I love that sort of combination of a really quite propulsive rhythm but the big stadium anthem-y kind of sound. It's totally up my alley. And then we were saying that gentle Scandinavian accent that might lull you to sleep at the same time as the rhythm's punching you in the head.
Yeah, I mean, you really can imagine that pixie hanging out in the Norwegian woods.
Yeah. I see it is sort of stealthily anthemic as well, which really came across seeing her live. She's a really engaging performer. She's really accomplished.
Emil Donovan is one of the producers of Jesse Mulligan's Afternoons show. He's responsible for booking the famous New Zealand Live set on Friday afternoons, as well as a bunch of other things. And he's also hot off hosting Karen Hayes' Lately slot while she was away. Welcome to Song Crash, Emil.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What's been in your ears this year?
So I've been listening to this artist called Lizzo. Who people might be pretty familiar with. She has been beating around the bush for like 6-7 years now. Real name, Melissa Jefferson. She's sort of, the song that I have chosen is kind of uncharacteristic. I mean, weirdly, I'm not actually a huge fan of her discography more broadly. It's got that kind of thick, overproduced, synth-driven sound that I think is getting a little bit trite now. There is a tendency to shoehorn rap verses into her songs, but the song that I picked today, Jerome, is the total opposite of that. First of all, I'm a sucker for a 3-4 ballad, right? You know, Unchained Melody, Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I like that style of song. I don't know why, but I also really like the stripped back production of this song. It doesn't rely on flashiness or synths, you know, vocal acrobatics or jumping into whistle register or any of that kind of stuff. It's a drum machine, it's an arpeggiated synth, there are some backing vocals to it. It's a really skillful showcasing, I think, of the power of the voice and the subtlety of someone's voice as well. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of it. Also, there is incongruous swearing, you know?
Like, which we'll edit out for broadcast.
But you know when you've got sort of a gentle, lovely kind of tune and then all of a sudden out of nowhere there's just a curse word just kind of pops out. I don't know, it's quite attractive to me. And I mean, lyrically I find this quite an interesting song as well. I mean, I interpret the song as being about a relationship or a person that you're attracted to but that you know is not right for you at this kind of place in your life. And how it can be so tempting to just focus on the positives and bulldoze your way through something like that. But it's kind of actually a slippery slope, and it's quite an empowering kind of song, I thought. It's not this whole, like, poor me, my man and I have broken up and I'm wallowing in misery. It's like, this is a thing that is not going to work, and so I'm going to be the one to cut the cord.
Well, yeah. I mean, Lizzo is all about empowerment,
totally.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it. Cool. This is Lizzo with Jerome. Lizzo with Jerome. I mean, her sense of humour just comes across so strongly, even though, you know, this is a heartfelt soul ballad, you know. I could kind of imagine Sharon Jones or someone like that, you know, doing this if Sharon was still with us.
It's like a postmodern ballad.
I love that. Yeah, super, super control. Yeah. I love that. I thought that was like funny Adele. I don't know if I'm totally square saying that, but yeah, like if Adele had a sense of humour.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that Adele does have a sense of humour.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really come out in her songs,
no,
does
exactly.
it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Emil.
Pleasure, thank you.
Lizzo has made Song Crush before. The album 'Cause I Love You came out in April, and we've just amalgamated all of the songs that we've played on the show since starting it at the beginning of this year in one handy playlist on Spotify. Just search for Song Crush and it'll come up. And subscribe to it, and we'll keep updating it with great new music for you. And tell your friends about it too, if you like. Nick Tipping's up next. He is the host of Inside Out, RNZ's jazz show, and you've got a track by local jazz drummer Maile Manzanza.
Yeah, Maile's been around Wellington for a while and travelled around overseas.
I remember him as like a 12-year-old busking in Cuba Street with a full kit.
Yeah, yeah, he was in the public consciousness all the way through like Wellington High School and then the jazz school. He's been in all sorts of bands like Olmeca Supreme, Electric Wire Hustle, Scribes of Ra, Recluse, played with jazz people like Jonathan Crayford.
Techno and people like Theo Parrish.
There you go. Yeah, so he's got a really broad palette to draw from. And I feel like every album he releases, you can kind of chart his progress really clearly as a musician. First album called One came out in 2012, then 1.1 came out in 2016. The sequence is broken, though, with the title of the next one, which is coming out very shortly. It's called A Love Requited. It's an interesting title because you feel like it that sort of implies a point of resolution. And I guess it does, but it's sort of it's a point of resolution within Maile's ongoing process of self-discovery as a musician. The liner notes, he goes into quite a lot of detail about how he's gone about that and how he sort of rejected the way he tried to be as a musician before and tried to just work on his chops and be Mr. Flashy Drummer. And he's kind of gotten past that, and now he's sort of looking within himself to try and find his own sound. He talks about in the liner notes, he's sort of put down the drumsticks for a while and sat down at the piano and started all over again, learning how to express himself on the piano and learning some piano skills. And you can hear that coming out in the music on this album. But I should also say that it's interesting that he goes, in terms of trying to express himself, he hasn't come out with a self-ish album. It's really the most collaborative album that he's done so far. So he's brought in a whole bunch of people like long-term collaborator Ross McHenry, the bass player from Aussie, Mark DeClive Lowe, Matthew Sheens, a whole bunch of other Aussie and Kiwi musicians. And he kind of hit on what Miles Davis used to do. Miles was the genius at putting a group of musicians in a room and letting them work it out. And so Miley's kind of done the same thing. So a lot of the tracks are co-composed. Many of them are arranged by other people. And he's just created the environment for musicians, the musicians he's using, to go and just be themselves, which I think is a particular skill. And he's really nailed it, I think, on this album. So it's not all about the drums, this album, which I think is a very mature thing for a drummer to come out with. I've really been enjoying this album, and I had a lot of trouble trying to pick a track. With regard to the self-discovery that Miley's going through on this album, I want to play a track called Family Dynamics. He doesn't really reveal what those dynamics are, but it's certainly part of his own journey.
That's Maeli Manzenza, Family Dynamics, was it?
Family Dynamics, yeah.
From his new album.
A Love Requited.
He never sits still on the beat for very long, does he, on that?
No, he doesn't. It's an interesting, he's treading a very fine line between typical drummer-led album where the drums are right at the front and playing his natural game. Maeli, you know, when he does anything, and I speak from personal experience, when he does anything, he gives 150% all the time. He's amazing.
So you've played with him as
I
well?
Have,
you're
yeah.
a double bass player for people who don't know.
Yeah, I am and have, not for a wee while. But yeah, I mean, it's he's just a musician with a huge amount of integrity. And so just all of the music on this album, I think, reflects that. While at the same time, like I said before, he leaves space for the other musicians in the band to fill in a lot of the blanks, which I think is a really mature statement.
Nick, you're going to be playing more of Maeli Manzenza's album on Inside Out next week.
Next week, yeah.
And people can look it up on our website, rnz.co.nz.
That's right, just look at Inside Out.
Tony, you're next with Charlotte Gainsbourg.
So if anyone doesn't know who Charlotte Gainsbourg is, she is primarily known as an actress, a French actress who also dabbles in a music career. She is the daughter of Serge Gainsbourg and the English actress Jane Birkin. Infamously, when Charlotte was 12 years old, she released a song with her dad called Lemon Incest, which is just so...
icky.
Regrettable and incredibly icky. But she's gone on to be very, very successful. As an actress, I think, primarily in the films of Lars von Trier. She was in Antichrist, Melancholia, and she was the titular Nymphomaniac in Nymphomaniac Parts 1 and 2.
She also hangs out with our own Conan Moccasin quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that connection. Yeah, they toured together. And I think he co-wrote a few songs with her, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's that song on his album called...
Charlotte's Thong,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, kind of regrettable. So I've always been a big fan of Charlotte's music. She collaborated with Beck on a few albums called IRM and Stage Whisper, which I think are excellent. Then on Rest, which came out in 2017, she worked with one half of Daft Punk and some French sort of dance producers. Then there was an EP called Take Two, which this track is taken from. It's called Bombs Away, and I think the reason it grabbed me is because it's been remixed by this guy, Toro Emoi. His version of the song is not a million miles away from the original, but what I really like about it is he has honed in on the groove. He's added a great bass line and really propulsive hi-hat, and it reminds me a lot of the early work of James Murphy, who went on to be LCD Sound System, when he was just taking other people's songs and just adding big dollops of funk onto them. And that's what I really like about this song. So it's Charlotte Gainsbourg, Bombs Away, the Toro Emoi remix.
Enemy sound and these will never.
That's Charlotte Gainsbourg, remixed by Toru Imoa, Bombs Away.
I like how we've brought the tempo of Song Crush up this week. It's good.
I think that's part of why that one jumped out at me.
Okay, I'm going to take us out with one last song for the week, a debut single from a Christchurch artist going by the name Mousy. Her real name is Serena Closen. I really don't know anything about her, but I do know this song is a pretty promising start. It's instantly catchy, relatable. The Beths would be a great comparison. She says of the song that it's about living in a flat with 9 other people. She says, I lived there for a year and I got the worst winter blues. One of my friends from jazz school had committed suicide. I was dealing with ongoing family issues and felt like I had no support from the people around me. Being an extrovert meant that I loved being with people, but it would make me extremely depressed thinking they didn't really care about the deeper part of me. There was a week that I didn't even enter the kitchen or the living area of the flat.
All too relatable.
So relatable. Who hasn't lived in a flat with 9 other people at some stage in their lives? So this is Extreme Highs by Mousy. This has been Song Crush. Tony Stamp, Nick Tipping, Emil Donovan, thank you for joining us. I'm Kirsten Johnstone. Ka kite.
Party, no one would show up to extreme high.